with addiction. Vermont's hub and spoke system is barely 2 years old, and it's too early to judge its long-term effectiveness. But Patterson says the system is good. The problem is its capacity to meet the increasing demand for treatment. For NPR News, I'm Steve Zind.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a mid-morning commodity market report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat, 637.5, up 12 and 3 quarters. May, 641.5, up 12. Soft March wheat, 597, up 8. May, 601 and 3 quarters, up 8. March corn, 406 and a quarter, up a quarter. May, 415, up a quarter. July, 421 and a quarter, unchanged. December, 429, unchanged. January soybeans, 1047.5, up 7 and 3 quarters. March, 1052.5, up 7 and a quarter. May, 1058.5, up 6 and a half. July, 1063 and a quarter, up 5 and 3 quarters. January soybean meal, 371.10, up 210. January soybean oil, 3270, unchanged. February live cattle, 165.55, down 67.5. January feeders, 225.35, down 32.5. February lean hogs are 78.80, and they're down 150. No, make that 115 even. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in chilly and snowy New Market, Indiana. Good morning, Wayne.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Got about 5 inches, did you say?
We only had 5 inches. So we had a two-hour delay with the schools around here. More towards Indianapolis, they got a little more. But, we're puttering around pretty good right now. Just a little bit scared of the wind tonight.
The one market that has held up thus far through the trading session has been the wheat. Corn and soybeans were much higher earlier in the session and have given back partials of their gains. So let's start with the wheat and suggest that perhaps traders are looking at a lot of weather maps this morning?
Well, yeah. And yesterday, of course, we got the wheat ratings. Illinois' wheat rating dropped from 56 down to 24 in the good to excellent category. And Kansas, our number one wheat state, dropped from 61 to 49 in the good to excellent category. And then again, you're looking and, we're going to get some pretty chilly temperatures down south. In a lot of the Delta wheat areas and some out west. We've got a fair amount of snow cover out west here now, but a lot of concern that there will be 10 to 20% of this wheat crop that is subject to damage that doesn't have good wheat or good snow coverage, Dave.
So are producers or traders looking at that in the near term and then thinking maybe in the back of their mind when we come to the big report day on Monday and look at winter wheat seedings, there could be a surprise there?
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you talk to most everybody, there's less wheat seeded around a lot of places. I mean, Indiana sure doesn't have the amount of wheat that we put out a year ago. We know that Arkansas, there's a lot of farmers down there that we talked to that didn't put any wheat out this last year. So, along with all that, we will probably see a cut in wheat acres.
All right, let's turn our attention then to corn and soybeans, which started a house of fire today with follow-through from yesterday, but have come back down a bit.
Yeah, we did see some follow-through buying here that when the European markets opened, we saw a little bit there. We were talking about China being the DDG market. They bought a few, they're interested in a few more beans. They are talking about buying some wheat. But the thing hanging over our head is the 9-year high on the U.S. dollar here, Dave. 5.5-year lows on the crude oil. Greece looks like it could maybe want out of the European community, and without their help, that economy could go broke. So, you know, that little bit of stuff that's hanging over our heads that keeps these rallies in check, just the world economy and some of those things that way. So, you know, one of the things we talked about or seeing more and more in the newswires is the northern third of Brazil. There's going to see some dryness, and today's weather map looked a little more like that. There's small areas of Argentina that look to have, you know, maybe 6, 7 to 10 days of a little more dryness than what the weather map showed yesterday. So that, along with everything else and the way that the grains buoyed up yesterday, sort of added a little support to the bean market.
Will the bean market remain pretty much supported now until the planting season on several ideas? One, maybe South America's bean crop will not come in quite as advertised. Maybe Argentina's political mess and their sale of beans will continue into next year. Perhaps on ideas that we're going to continue to grow the cattle herd and we'll look for more meal, and probably a few more positives I'm not even thinking about right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of those things that we're looking at and thinking about that might sort of put a little bit of bottom under this here. You know, one of the things for the media is that the grain movement's going to be limited by this weather. You know, that how many farmers want to haul corn, and there's diesel semis don't run well when it's down around zero. So that and the snow movement. So that's one thing. We're also saying that, you know, we're talking about these problems in Brazil and Argentina. You know, worst case scenario, we're probably still going to have 94 million metric tons out of Brazil, 55 out of Argentina. And that's if we discount things and they do have this sort of dry period down there, which is going to be, you know, near record for both of them. So there's still going to be some really good crops down there. I think the thing that we want to look at more so is limited movement by Argentine farmers, limited movement by U.S. farmers, and the cold weather up here hampering things, and the demand for meal as the meat prices stay very high, Dave.
As you mentioned, the U.S. dollar, given that much of the soybeans have already been front-loaded, I would think the corn market would be the one that would be more sensitive to it at this point.
But you're probably right, Dave, because we see that our bean sales generally switch to South America from February on, and that we're going to become the more reliable corn exporter through that time period. So that's going to happen that way. We see that farmers have not been quite as anxious when we saw a setback in prices to sell. They've been very tight holders. And, you know, as we see a little rally back up, getting, say, fall corn over $4 cash, I imagine we'll see some a little more cash movement, a little more activity that way. You know, as we've talked here, we had a stronger move all overnight and most of the morning, and now we've dropped back to down about a quarter of a cent.
All right, let's look at the livestock market for a moment and pay some attention to lean hogs, which, when you look compared to feeder cattle on a percentage basis, have fallen much further in the futures market. There are certainly a number of reports that says the herd will rebound from PED virus from last year, although the amount of pork available, because we allowed them to overweight, wasn't significantly impacted at the retail level. So I'm kind of wondering, as you look at futures and the futures fall, how it might look at the retail level, say, in another 3 to 6 months.
Well, Dave, I mean, there's two things. Like you said, we managed to keep our pork production up by higher slaughter weights. We also, it's easier to increase the hog herd faster than the cattle herd. Your litters and your farrowing frequency is a lot closer together. And, you know, we've held them in there. But the meats is all are under good, you know, they still got very good demand. We're going to do this. But we are going to probably inch back as far as the prices that we got for hogs last year, this next year.
How much will the cattle herd grow in 2015, do you think?
You know, I think it will increase. We're seeing, more calves out west. We're seeing more feeder cattle available, but, the prices are still high. You know, as we look at March feeder cattle today are $221.35, Dave, you know, that tells you that the supply is fairly tight. Over $2 feeder cattle, you know, that tells you they aren't a bunch of them out there.
Thank you very much, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace. March corn, 405 and a half, down a half. May, 414 and a quarter, down a half. July, 420 and a half, down three quarters. December, 428 and a quarter, down three quarters. January soybeans, 1044 and a quarter, up four and a half. March, 1048 and three quarters, up three and a half. May, 1055 and a quarter, up three and a quarter. July, 1060 and a quarter, up two and three quarters. January soybean meal, 371.10, up 2.10. January soybean oil, 3270, unchanged. February live cattle, 165.17 and a half, down 105. January feeders, 224.85, down 82 and a half. February lean hogs, 78.45, down 147 and a half. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.